is
hide their inner purpose until we hear
from a great personality who through his mercy unlocks the treasure of the storehouse of knowledge from the Vedas and distributes that wealth. So herein, Srila Prabhupada, on behalf of all of the previous acharyas, is explaining so nicely what actually is the wonderful, wonderful nature of Krishna's activities. And simply by understanding them with faith from such a powered acharya, we will attain Krishna's abode. There is no need to ever take birth in this material world again. So Srila Prabhupada is explaining that Krishna is not an ordinary person. He is the absolute truth. He is time itself, the destroyer of everything. Therefore, what was his fear of Kamsa? But still, just to reciprocate with the nature of Vasudeva's love, he agreed to be transferred from the prison cell of Kamsa to the cowherd pastures of Nanda Maharaj. Because he wanted Vasudeva to have that extraordinary feeling that this is my son and I must protect him. Krishna is more pleased by a devotee who has this pure love of protecting him, thinking him helpless, than another devotee praying to him for protection, knowing that he is infallible. Because it is a matter of intensity, of ecstatic emotion in love of God. And similarly, Nanda and Yashoda, they for so many years were longing to have such a son. So Krishna moved from Mathura's prison cell to Vrindavan to fulfill their great longings and prayers. Jiva Goswami explains in his very beautiful book, Gopal Champu, a very detailed and intimate description of Krishna's appearance, which perfectly harmonizes and complements Shukadeva Goswami's explanation in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukadeva Goswami emphasized what happened in Mathura, and Jiva Goswami puts great emphasis on what happened in Gokul Mahavan. Our great acharya describes how there was a great king living in Mathura. His name was Devaidha. And he had two wives. One was a Kshatriya and one was a Vaishya. And from his two wives, he had several children. From the Kshatriya wife, Surasena was born. And from the Vaishya wife, Parjanya was born. Later on, Surasena inherited the kingdom of Mathura, and Parjanya went to the cowherd pastures in Gokul Mahavan, and he became the king of the gopas and gopis there. Surasena gave birth to Vasudeva. Parjanya gave birth to five sons. The eldest was Upananda. The next was Abhinanda. The middle child was Nanda. The fourth child was Sunanda, and the youngest child was Nandan.
And it is described by Srila Jiva Goswami that these five sons were very similar in their transcendental qualities to the five sons of Pandu. And the middle son in both families was very extraordinary, Arjuna and Nanda Maharaj. So after Parajanya raised his five children to be grown up, he decided to take to vanaprastha life and renounce all of the responsibilities of this world. And he gave his whole kingdom of Braja to Upananda, his eldest son. And then he simply worshipped Govinda. Upananda, seeing the extraordinary good qualities of Nanda, his younger brother, decided that actually he should be the king, and I will be his servant by being his chief minister. Amongst great souls, there is no envy or competition. Amongst great souls, there is only desire to perform the best possible service, individually and collectively. So Nanda Maharaj was made the king of the gopas and gopis, Brajaraj, and Upananda became his minister. Meanwhile, one of the gopas' name was Sumukha. And this Sumukha had the most wonderful daughter. This daughter had such extraordinary good qualities that everyone in Brajbhumi considered that anyone who would hear her name or speak her name or see her or serve her would attain great prosperity and eternal fame. And this daughter's name was Yashodha. So the Gopa Sumukha decided to offer his most beautiful daughter to Nanda Maharaj for marriage. Nanda Maharaj was so pleased, and after taking in charity the beautiful daughter of Sumukha, Nanda Maharaj, his fame became spreading everywhere throughout Brajabhumi because he was married to Yashoda. Her very name means one who brings great fame. And in this way, Nanda Maharaj cared for all the gopas and gopis and cows in such a loving and wonderful way that everyone in Braja was completely satisfied. But as the years went by, a terrible anxiety began to grow in everyone's heart, because Nanda and Yashoda were having no son. So what to do? They were getting older, and still there was no son. The elderly gopis, they took a vow. They will not wear any ornaments or do anything for their own personal interests until Nanda and Yashoda receive a son. So many of the residents of Brajbhumi were taking vows and performing different tapasyas to try to appeal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead that Nanda and Yashoda would have a son. Meanwhile, on a regular basis, simultaneously, both Nanda and Yashoda would have the same dream. In this dream, the most beautiful son, the most beautiful child was appearing to them. They couldn't get over the incredible attraction of this child. And both of them, within their hearts, decided, we want this child to be our son. We can put our love in no one else. But still, the years were going by,
and no child was born.
So Upananda, Abhinanda, Sunanda, Nandan, they all came together and decided we should perform a big, big yajna in order to attract a son to be born from Nanda and Yashoda. So they were performing this yajna. But Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai, they were thinking that the child that we are seeing in our dream, that child is far greater than any of the persons that receive the oblations of yajna. So we don't care about these yajnas. So they did not take interest, and therefore the yajna failed. But then Nanda and Yashoda, they decided to perform the Dwadasi Vrat for one full year in order to appeal to Lord Narayan. And after 1 year of following this austerity, Lord Narayan appeared to both of them in dreams at the same time and told them that this beautiful child that is appearing to you in your dreams will soon be your son. He is greater than even me. And then with this benediction, Narayan disappeared. And this was a very, very wonderful, wonderful benediction. Nanda Maharaj began to explain to the residents of Vrindavan about this dream, and everyone became very, very hopeful. And then one day, an unknown lady came to Vrindavan. Her name was Purnamasi. And she was a Brahmin. And she did astrological calculations. And she told Nanda and Yashoda that very soon you will have a child, and this child will be the object of everyone's attraction. This child will be the most all-attractive, beautiful of all children, will attract the hearts of everyone, will bring you the greatest ecstasies. And not only that, this child will bring about unlimited prosperity and joy throughout all of Brajbhumi. So the residents of Vrindavan were so happy to hear this prophecy of Purnamasi that what they did is they built a nice little hut for her on the bank of the Jamuna where she would sit and do her bhajan until the child was born. One night, Nanda and Yashoda again simultaneously had a dream. In this dream, Mother Yashoda, she saw within Nanda Maharaja's heart the same child of their dream. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful little baby. And this baby was covered by a baby girl. And then, from the heart of Nanda Maharaj, this beautiful, all-attractive child transferred into her heart, entered her heart, along with the baby girl. And then she saw how the baby girl transferred from her heart to her womb. But the son stayed within her heart. And then she explained to Nanda Maharaj what this dream was. And he confirmed, yes, this is exactly the vision that I perceived. And from that moment, Yashoda Mai's beauty just became resplendent. She was effulgent with transcendentally wonderful, wonderful, all-attractive qualities.
And the demigods would oftentimes come into the home of Yashoda and Nanda to offer prayers and worship the child within the womb. And from the time of the conception of Krishna entering into the heart of Yashoda, the whole of Vrindavan became so prosperous. It was unbelievable. It was as if Satyayuga appeared. It describes how there was flowers growing everywhere, irregardless of seasons. The flowers of every season were fully blossoming, not considering it was actually the month of Magh, where Krishna entered into the heart of Yashoda. And summer fruits like mangoes started blossoming immediately. And spring flowers started blossoming on every tree. There was tremendous auspicious signs of prosperity. And it is described by Srila Jiva Goswami that actually Krishna not only appeared within the heart of Yashoda, but just like a candle appears within a lamp, but also the light of the candle appears outside of the lamp. Similarly, Krishna actually appeared in the hearts of all of the Brijvasis. And then it was on that very, very great night, at midnight, in the month of Shravan, that Krishna had Yogamaya. Actually, what happened is this, that Mother Yashoda was within her maternal residence, the place to give birth, and Lord Krishna and Yogamaya, they both took birth from Yashoda, but Yogamaya carried Krishna to the prison cell of Mathura. Simultaneously, the four-armed form of Vishnu appeared in Vasudeva and Devaki. And Devaki, in her motherly affection, she prayed to Lord Narayan that, "I am very afraid if Kamsa sees you in this four-armed form, he may try to hurt you. Please take the form of a little baby." So when Vasudeva agreed to this, Srila Jiva Goswami explains, at that very moment, Yogamaya brought the little two-armed form of baby Krishna, and Vasudeva merged into that form, being a plenary expansion. And under Lord Vishnu's instruction, Krishna's instruction, to Vasudeva, at that time, Vasudeva carried the baby Krishna across Jamuna to the house of Yashoda. And Yashoda Mai, because she was, by the spell of Yogamaya, so tired from giving birth that she really didn't even know what happened. She didn't even know who she gave birth to. Actually, she gave birth to twins. First, Krishna came out of her body, from her heart, not from her womb. And then Yogamaya came from her womb. And Jiva Goswami explains that actually the real love, the real pure love of a parent for its child comes from the heart, not from the womb. Sometimes A child can be born from your womb and you don't even like it. But love comes from your heart. Therefore, Krishna took his residence within the heart and was born from the heart of Yashoda. So when Vasudev came with the child, Yogamaya, after bringing little baby Krishna to Kamsa's cell, she immediately went back and laid next to Yashoda. And then Vasudev came and saw baby little girl Yogamaya, and he exchanged Krishna for the little girl and brought her back to Mathura. In the morning, Mother Yashoda woke up and she saw Krishna laying next to her. And when she saw the beauty of this child, she was completely overwhelmed. Her breasts filled with nectarine milk. And she just began to weep and cry. She just couldn't look at this child enough. She just wanted to look at him and embrace him and kiss him. Unlimited, inconceivable motherly affection just erupted in her heart uncontrollably. And she was in such great joy. And then her gopi assistants, when they saw this child, they were just dancing in great love. And then they called for a Brahmin's wife, a Brahmani. And they told her, please give the message to Nanda Maharaj that a beautiful son was born. So this Brahmani, upon seeing baby Krishna, was just so much happy, overjoyed, that she just arranged so many nice gifts to bring to Nanda Maharaj, auspicious gifts, rice and turmeric and kumkum and kushi grass. And she started going to where Nanda Maharaj was, and at that time it was the morning milking of cows. So Upananda, Abhinanda, Nanda, Sunanda, Anandan, and all the gopas were all in the process of milking cows. And at that auspicious moment, this Brahmani came. And when she came before Nanda Maharaj with these gifts, she was so blissful that she couldn't even speak. And when Nanda Maharaj and the others saw her in this condition, they immediately understood such ecstasy could only be because Yashoda has given birth to a son. So they just were so happy. And finally she gave them the good news. And all the gopas just began to dance in ecstasy. And they were dancing and dancing and dancing to celebrate the good fortune of Nanda Maharaj. And Nanda Maharaj, he told this Brahmani that because you have come to bring this good news, I give in charity to your husband all the cows that are in the process of being milked and all the cows that are waiting to be milked. And anything else your husband wants, we'll give that too. And then Nanda Maharaj went to his home and he took bath and he put on fresh clothes. And he started walking very quickly to the place where Yashoda had given birth to his son. And by this time the word was spreading throughout all Brajbhumi that Nanda and Yashoda, Brajaraj and Brajeshwari, have given birth to a son. And everyone was celebrating and playing instruments and dancing and singing and making beautiful poems in glorification of Nanda and Yashoda. And meanwhile, as Nanda Maharaj was trying to walk, he was so excited in ecstatic love that as he was walking, sometimes he would fall. Sometimes he would just stop walking and be stunned as if paralyzed. How he made it It explained that Lord Narayan was personally pulling him forward. He was in so much ecstatic anticipation to see the son that he prayed for and longed for so many years. And finally he entered into the house. And Rohini Devi, who was Vasudev's wife, Vasudev had several wives. When Vasudev was put in the prison of Kamsa, he especially sent Rohini on a beautiful chariot, horse-drawn carriage, to Vrindavan to take shelter of the good protection of his dearest friend, Nanda Maharaj. So Rohini, she had put a beautiful curtain in front of Yashoda's bed. And when Nanda Maharaj came to see Rohini in a very blissful state, she said, "Nanda Maharaj, unless you give me ornaments, I will not show you your son." Now, this is a very ecstatic emotion, because when according to the Vedic culture, when a woman is separated from her husband, she will never dress nicely or wear any ornaments. Because a chaste wife should only wear ornaments for the pleasure of her husband and no other reason at all. Because the husband is supposed to be the representative of Krishna to the woman. So Rohini would never wear ornaments. But on this day she said, "I will let you see your child if you give me ornaments." Which means this is such an extraordinary festival that I want to even celebrate like this. So Nanda Maharaj very happily said, "Yes, yes, I will give you anything you want." And then with a blissful smile, Rohini drew the curtain. And there Nanda Maharaj saw was her beloved wife, Yashoda Mai, and in her arms was the beautiful, beautiful child, Krishna. And when he saw the beauty of Krishna, his complexion was blue and shining like a sapphire, and his eyes were like the fully bloomed petals from a lotus flower, and his lips were like fresh, deep red flowers, and his hands were like the twigs of the Tamil tree, and each of his limbs were more ecstatically beautiful than nectar itself. Nanda Maharaj, upon seeing his son, he became stunned, motionless. He could not say a word from his mouth. Tears began to flow profusely from his eyes in parental affection. His whole body began to tremble and shiver. And as he was in this condition, he was just embracing this child within his heart of hearts. And then Upananda's wife, who was a very, very dear servant of Yashoda, she personally picked up the baby Krishna and brought him and placed him in the arms of Nanda Maharaj. And as Nanda Maharaj was holding this child and embracing him, we cannot explain or understand the ecstatic love of Vatsalya Ras that was being exchanged between Sri Nanda Nandana and Nanda Maharaj. Meanwhile, the whole of Vrindavan was coming to witness this beautiful scene of Nanda and Yashoda with their loving child. And instruments, Rohini Devi arranged for people to be playing so many instruments. And everyone was dancing and singing. And Nanda Maharaj had Brahmins come to chant hymns. And then Nanda Maharaj started giving charity. This is the nature of a great personality. They express their joy by giving in charity to people who are worthy of charity. First he gave 10,000 cows. Then he gave 10 lakhs of cows. Then he started giving hundreds of lakhs of cows to qualified Brahmins. And still it wasn't enough. He started arranging mountains. He had, I believe it was 7 mountains of sesame seeds, each one 320 kgs. And on top of those mountains, he put profusely beautiful gold and jewels and silver. And he started giving those away to the Brahmins. And he was giving charity to the Brahmins and to everyone. Nanda Maharaj gave so much charity away on that day that no one could carry it all. It is explained, usually when someone gives charity to someone, they always want more. Have you ever given to charity to anyone where they don't want more? Is that possible? They may say thank you very much, but in their hearts, if I only had more. But Nanda Maharaj was giving so profuse, all of his wealth, he was just giving it and giving it and giving it. And everyone, without exception, was so completely overwhelmed with satisfaction that no one wanted any more. Stop, Nanda Maharaj. Enough, enough. And Nanda Maharaj kept giving. And the kalpa vriksha trees and the Chintamani stones of Vrindavan all felt completely defeated by Nanda Maharaj in fulfilling everyone's desires. Meanwhile, the celebration was so wonderful. Everyone was looking upon Krishna and everyone was so happy. The reason is, everyone saw Krishna as their own son. They saw Krishna as Nanda and Yashoda's son, but they loved him just like their own son. So there was no competition, there was no envy. Krishna reciprocated with all the gopas and gopis in the same way he reciprocated with his own mother and father by giving that ecstatic vatsalya ras. And as the music was playing and everyone was dancing, the gopas and the gopis were composing beautiful songs, and they were throwing butter and yogurt and different colored waters on each other, and they were having a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful festival. And the celebration of the appearance of the divine son of Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. And then Nanda Maharaj brought all of the Brijabasis to the Jamuna to take their baths. And after taking their baths, they put on fresh clothes. And all the residents of Vrindavan all came to the house of Nanda Maharaj at Gokul Mahavan to see the beautiful child of Krishna. They were streaming to see, just like so many rivers entering into the ocean. And Rohini Devi, to celebrate this great occasion, she arranged sumptuous feast of prasad and personally arranged it to serve to all of the residents of Vrindavan. And this is Nandotsav, the wonderful feast celebrating the appearance of Lord Krishna. And anyone who hears this story with sincere faith, certainly Krishna will also take birth within that person's heart and bring about eternal spiritual prosperity. Hare Krishna. I think we will end there, because there's nothing else I can say. Is there any questions?
Maharaj, this is seen in several pastimes that great acharyas, especially Jiva Goswami, give so many more elaborate details than what is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, they are going to be, seem to be going much more deeper and giving details which are not otherwise mentioned, I believe, in any other scripture. So, why is it that Sukadeva Goswami, because of the lack of time which he had, that he just concised it and told just one portion of it, and he must have known everything?
It is said that if Ananta Shesha, with his thousand mouths, were to try to explain the pastimes that Krishna performed in a minute, in the entire time of the cosmic manifestation, he could not do it. So who could possibly fathom the extent of Krishna's glories? Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains about Lord Chaitanya and Krishna, same principle. Ananta Shesha, with all his hoods, for the whole time of the cosmic manifestation, if he were to incessantly, without stop, glorify the pastimes of the Lord, he could not complete what the Lord performs in a minute. So Srila Shukadeva Goswami is a pure devotee of Vrindavan. He is the topmost Paramahamsa, personal associate of Srimati Radharani in the spiritual world. He has explained Srimad Bhagavatam, but in 7 days, how many things could he explain? To what limit could he explain? And also it is explained by the acharyas that because so many different kinds of rishis and sages and saints were assembled to see Maharaj Parikshit and be there when he disappeared from the world, there was jnanis, there was yogis, there was all different sages. There was also Paramhamsa bhaktas. That is one of the reasons he did not mention the name of Srimati Radharani. But he explained her glories in a more magnificent way than are to be found in any Purana without saying her name. So Shukadeva Goswami described as Krishna and Sri Radharani was speaking through him to describe. Actually, Srila Prabhupada explained once that Lord Chaitanya, one time they asked Prabhupada, some of his disciples, why Lord Chaitanya didn't preach Krishna consciousness outside of India? Why only in India? He said his name would be chanted in every town and village in the whole world. So why he did it, but only in India? Why not outside? And Prabhupada, with tears of love and gratitude in his eyes, from his heart, with deep realization, he replied. He said, out of his mercy, he wanted to save that service for me. So by the Lord's arrangement, he reveals different aspects of his divine lila through different of his pure, empowered, eternal associates who descend into this world. So through the six Goswamis, so much of the most intimate details of the loving Leela of Krishna were revealed to the world. But the basis of all of it is Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all of the Goswamis, they put the greatest emphasis on Srimad Bhagavatam only. The Satsandarbhas of Jiva Goswami is basically to establish that Srimad Bhagavatam is the supreme ultimate of all scriptures. It is the commentary of Vedanta Sutra by Vedavyasa himself. It is the most perfect scripture describing tattva and ras. It is the Paramhamsa Samhita. So what the six Goswamis did, on the order of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is they glorified the supreme opulence of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is none different than Srimati Radharani herself, the very personification of devotion. And they simply, in their glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam, they simply enhanced, expounded, and amplified the various teachings of the Bhagavatam. Actually, it is not that they are giving something else or something more than what Sukadeva Goswami spoke in Bhagavatam. They are actually extracting this information from their internal realizations of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Krishna is revealing it in that way. Hare Krishna. That answer your question? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.